It's working now. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Holy Scripture that we're focusing on this morning for the sermon is from the Gospel lesson. However, before we get to that, I don't want to separate that from what I usually do, and that is to thank you. St. Paul begins his letter to the Philippians with the words, "I give thanks to my God in all my prayers for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." As I go around South Wisconsin and preach, even in these COVID days, we have much to give thanks for. Our God continues to bless us. His word is being proclaimed like it's never been proclaimed before. Congregations putting their services on websites like Zoom and Facebook, or recording it so that it can be placed out so people can hear it. God's word is not chained because of COVID. People around the world are hearing the message of the gospel, law and gospel, sin and grace, from here and everywhere. A few weeks ago, I preached in Elm Grove, and they have regularly people from South Ethiopia and the Sudan listening to their services. Not safe places for Americans to go, but the gospel is there because of the internet. Yesterday, I was at a groundbreaking for one of our newest churches, Cross Lutheran, in Westport. Probably don't know where Westport is. I had to look it up on a map, too. It's over by Wanakee on the northwest side of Madison. They're going to begin, they work on a new church building. A brand new church. You're part of that as part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod South Wisconsin District. A brand new congregation is being planted. And we have more places to go, more challenges ahead as we proclaim the gospel in an unfriendly time. You're part of the Dominican Republic mission plant as well. Things are going exceptionally well down there as a confessional Lutheran church body is forming. You're an important part of that as well. Our mission exec, former mission exec, Pastor Jonah Burakowski, who's probably been here. No? Okay. He's going down to be the Associate Director for Central American Missions. He's been a great mission exec for us in the district for the past 4 years. Synod decided that it was time, and the Holy Spirit as well, most importantly, to take him down there and to give him a bigger world in which to work. The gospel is not chained. It's preached everywhere. The gospel cannot be chained because God always finds a way to have it proclaimed. And you are an important part of that, as is your pastor, for whom I give thanks constantly. He served as a circuit visitor for many years. He's a great blessing to your church and to the church at large, as you together are as well. So I thank you for the way in which you support missions, for the way in which you pray for our church body. We are a confessional church body in a world that's gone off the rails with sin. Now, to the orders of the day. Sermon text, John chapter 6, verses 1 and following. You've heard all it read once already. Some words. Verse 5. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself already knew what he would do. In verse 12 and following, which are amazing verses, and when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing might be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 loaves of bread left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So far, God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it's good to be with you on this day, on this Lectare Sunday, as we look forward to the completion of Lent. Not far away, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Today, we're reminded of God's earthly blessings, earthly daily bread, and also heavenly daily bread. This whole chapter of John chapter 6 is about bread.
both the bread that's in our cupboards at home, on our countertops, and the bread of eternal life as we scratch deeper into the passage. It's an amazing, amazing miracle as we take a look at it, because God takes care of not just our physical needs, our daily bread there, but also our spiritual needs, the daily bread from heaven. People followed Jesus everywhere he went. They saw him as a great blessing from God, like we see him. But we see him a bit different. We sing in one of our hymns for communion, "O living bread from heaven, how richly you have fed your guest." He takes care of our physical needs. He takes care of our spiritual needs. Let's just begin by looking at the physical needs that he takes care of. That's what he does here in these verses of Holy Scripture. Physical needs. 5,000 men follow him. Some estimates are that if you include women and children in that, there's probably more than 10,000 people gathered on the hillsides around the Sea of Galilee, following him out into the middle of absolutely nowhere. They followed him and followed him to the point where they had no food. And he was concerned about their physical well-being. So he turned to his disciples and he said, "Where are we to buy food for these people, so that they might eat?" 10,000 people would eat a lot of food. Figuring that Jesus would ask them something like this, at least one of them knew the answer. And it wasn't a good answer. It would take 200 days worth of wages to buy enough food for that many people. Another came and said, "We have a boy here with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish, a regular staple for the day. But what is that amongst so many?" What is that amongst so many? Having lived through the pandemic, you probably all went to the store at some point and were chagrined, disappointed when you found no toilet paper or paper towels. If you went for a pound of hamburger, the cupboard was bare as well. COVID had affected the food supply chain. Food that we used to take for granted was missing. Hamburgers, eggs, all sorts of things weren't in the stores any longer. A reminder that the food that we eat on a daily basis is a great blessing from God. As Americans, we've become very calloused, and we forget, what about the food that we eat? Where does it come from? We know here where the food came from. It came from the hands of the Almighty Lord Jesus, the Christ. He took the bread, broke it, lifted his eyes to God in heaven and prayed. He took the fish and it was distributed as well. Precious gifts for so many people in the middle of nowhere. Not just for the children or people gathered around him on that day, the 5,000 plus, but also for us. If you use the common table prayer, you understand the gifts. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed." Sometimes we say it so fast that we forget the words, "Let thy gifts to us be blessed." We use one at home that my wife learned growing up. "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we receive from that bounty through Christ our Lord." On this day, for the people gathered around him, they came to see what a precious blessing it was that Jesus was giving them. He started out with 5 small bun-shaped loaves of bread and 2 small fish. That's all that there was, it seems, amongst the whole crowd. He blessed it and started passing it out from his hands to the disciples' hands to the people's hands. Every time the disciples came back, there was more. There was not a shortage. Everybody ate their fill. Everybody ate their fill because the hands of the gracious Savior were blessing the food so that it multiplied and multiplied, providing what they needed for that day. They all ate and were satisfied. Every single person there reminds me of what we learned from the Catechism. I was going to have you open your hymnals, but you don't have them back in the pew yet.
First article, I know. First article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he's giving me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. He does this only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. First article of the Apostles' Creed. That's what this chapter, part of it at least, is about. Every day we can rejoice in the great blessings that God has given us. Clothing and shoes, meat and drink, and house and home, wife and children, husbands, everything that we need to support body and life. And he's even given us our body and life. What God breathed into Adam's nostrils, he's also breathed into your nostrils. He breathed into him and gave him an immortal soul. And he gives us everything that we need every day so that we can stay alive and be his people. And that's what you are here in this place. You're his people. In volume 30 of his works, Martin Luther talks about the importance of being his people. The importance of what we need to do as we live here. It falls in here. Martin Luther says, it would be good if God, on the day that we baptize, were baptized, that God would simply take us out of the world. But he leaves us here so that we can be his people and fulfill our vocation as his people, so that others might come to know him as Lord and Savior. Imagine the impact that this miracle had, not only on the disciples, but on the 10,000 or 5,000 plus who gathered on this day. In their sinfulness, they looked at Jesus and saw a bread king. They would never have to go to a grocery store again. They would never have to bake any bread. Jesus would just give it to them. They were misguided. They misunderstood. They were sinners like we are sinners. They misunderstood because life is more than just getting and having. Jesus told the devil that at one point. Remember in his temptations? Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Heavenly Father. God gives us daily bread to sustain our bodies, to take care of our families, so that we can be his people, so that we might serve him, for all of which it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. We're God's people everywhere we go. Your vocation is to be the people of God everywhere you go, not just as you gather in church on Sunday, but to be his person, to be his redeemed, to be part of the priesthood of all believers. In whatever vocation you might have, mother and father, grandmother, grandfather, worker, laborer, office worker, driving down the street, standing in a line at Walmart or some store, giving thanks to him for everything that he has given you. But there's more to this story than just the daily bread that we eat and need to keep our bodies alive, the houses, the homes. Scratch a little deeper. Go farther into the chapter. And Jesus says, I am the living bread from heaven that came down from heaven. Living bread for our souls. I am the bread of life, he says. Oh, how desperately we need that bread of life. Bread of life that comes because we're sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. Bread of life that is ours because when Adam and Eve sinned, they ruined everything in the Garden of Eden. We yearn to have a bread king, just like these people did here. But he gives us something more than just the bread on our tables, the food in our refrigerators, the house, the roof over our heads. He gives us more than the car that we drive, more than the vocation that we're able to fulfill. And yet we yearn for more. The prophet Micah says, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God has set his seal. Elsewhere he says, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven.
If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We're in the midst of Lent, we know where he's going to give his flesh. On the cross. Body and blood there. Sacrificed for our sin. Body and blood. Dead. Laid in a tomb to conquer sin, death, and the devil for us. Body and blood. That's now shared with us in many different ways. Jesus' word is perfect food for our souls. Jeremiah the prophet talks about that when he says to God, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." King David says in Psalm 119, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." So the word of God is food for our souls, food for the faith that he's planted in our hearts, sweet food, because with the word comes the good news that though we live in a sinful world, though we live in a sinful body, though we deserve nothing from him but wrath and punishment, he's given us something better. He's given us forgiveness, life, and salvation in this Son. God's word and sacrament contain everything that we need to maintain a strong and healthy spiritual life, a strong and healthy faith. Forgiveness, life, and salvation satisfies our longing inner cravings that were sacrificed to sinfulness. The sacrament of baptism renews and strengthens faith every day, so that daily a new man should come forth and arise who will live before God in righteousness and purity. The sacrament of our Lord's body and blood contains everything that we need to be refreshed with spiritual food, forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is what our Lord says to the prophet Isaiah. "Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." This is the original soul food, Holy Scripture. The food that feeds our lives with God. The psalmist says, "For he satisfies the longing soul, the hungry soul he fills with good things." You know that. That's why you're here. Every Sunday when you gather, you hear God's law and gospel proclaimed. You're fed with the word and sacrament by your pastor. And I give thanks for that because you have a faithful and caring pastor who not only stands here in this pulpit, but who walks with you every day of life and even through the jaws of death, holding forth the promise of eternal life, assuring you of the presence of God. The Israelites looked for the wrong bread. They gathered too much of it. They hoarded it, and it began to rot. And yet, we have something more precious than just bread with yeast, rye bread, nine-grain bread. We have the eternal bread from heaven that will never rot, never decay. Our Lord Jesus extends that invitation. He says, "Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy?" We do that every day. We do that every week. With the COVID, some people, I talked to my uncle yesterday who lives in Arizona. He said, "We only go to the grocery store twice a month. But they have to keep going back because that's food that perishes." And yet, he's in church every Sunday. A faithful Christian man. A wonderful Christian man. The daily bread that we eat is certainly a precious gift from our Heavenly Father. As the forgiven people of God, we understand that. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve any kindness from him. Not the bread on our table, not the food in our refrigerator. Not the clothes that we wear, not the house over our head, but he's given those to us so that we might continue to be his people here on this side of eternity, so that we can continue to honor our vocation as his people. Martin Luther says, "In Christ you have the living bread. He can give you eternal life, deliver you from death, and take captive the devil. Trust that Christ is the fountainhood of life, and God has poured out all his gifts, his will, and eternal life into Christ, and has directed man to him. There we find it all. If we take hold of him, you have all, and you have taken hold of the entire Godhead. We're richly blessed as the people of God. We understand God's great blessings for us, not just the food on our table, but most importantly, greater blessings that come to us from the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross, his death, his time in the tomb, and his resurrection, where he brings life and immortality to light. We receive his body and blood in a precious sacrament, spiritual food that strengthens our faith so that we might know we're forgiven, so that you might have a stronger faith to serve him. There's the old proverbs about Mother Hubbard's cupboard being bare. We saw that at times during the COVID crisis. Hopefully it doesn't come again. But even in the depths of the COVID crisis, Mother Hubbard's cupboard was not true of the grace and the forgiveness and the blessings that God has in store for us, for you. One of the sad things about catching COVID, as I understand it, is many people lose their taste for food. A sad thing, but there's never cause to lose your taste for the heavenly food. The gifts that Jesus provides us in his word and sacrament are spiritual food. Jesus says to the woman at the well in John chapter 5, if you drink the water I have for you, it will become in you a water of life welling up to eternal life. Precious blessings for you that no sin, no death, nothing can destroy. As long as you lift your eyes and focus on the gifts of Christ, O living bread from heaven, how richly you have fed your guests. You feed on that living bread from heaven today. Later, you'll join in the earthly bread, supper, lunch. But the most important bread of life is here and here and in the sacrament of holy baptism. Live, eat of this heavenly bread often. Enjoy its many blessings. It's meant to sustain you for your journey through life, meant so that you can continue to be his people now and every day. May our gracious Lord continue to bless you here at St. Peter's Waterford as you continue to be God's faithful people in this community, bearing witness to what it means to be children of God, children of the Almighty Father, who sent his Son into this world as payment for sin, who sent his Son to you to create faith in your hearts so that you might be his people and live as his people, for all of which it is our duty to thank and praise him, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. To his glory. Amen. And then, okay, everybody does this different. Some people get up, some don't. So, yeah, please rise. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I forgot to answer that question. May it guard, keep, and protect your hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.